Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Lance Corporal Joe Hovis from the South Carolina Highway Patrol Troop 3. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm going to start with a question that I normally start with. I imagine that people are going to recognize the South Carolina Highway Patrol. You get the silver cars with the blue stripes and people see you out and they never want to see your lights in their mirror.
But, that's right.
But they know who you are. Anyway, I'm going to ask the introductory question that I normally ask. Which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Tell us about the mission of the South Carolina Highway Patrol.
Well, number one, I'm the community relations officer for the Upstate. I have Troop 3, which is basically Spartanburg, Greenville, Pickens, Oconee, and Anderson County.
Basically the Upstate.
Okay. I do public speaking and education. I go to high schools, businesses, pretty much anywhere, senior citizens group at churches, and talk about safety and about saving lives, which is our mission at the Highway Patrol. I am also the liaison between the Highway Patrol and the news media. So most of the things that you hear about the Highway Patrol usually comes through me first. And I'm also recruiting. I attend a lot of recruiting events and always excited about talking to young men and women about coming to work for the Highway Patrol. But that's kind of what we do, and we believe from the director on down that one of the best way to save lives in the state of South Carolina is through education, and so we play a big part of that. As a matter of fact, we just returned from San Antonio, Texas. We were at a trooper conference there. It's called the USEOW, which is the Uniform Safety Education Officers Workshop, and it's troopers from across the country, and we do safety presentations, and plagiarism is a good thing. We learn from them. They learn from us. It's also a competition. And so fortunately for this year, the South Carolina Highway Patrol took first place nationally for traffic safety presentation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We partnered
Not to interrupt, I have a theater director who always gave me the advice, if you're going to steal the best stuff.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
People will be plagiarizing you now.
Just a great bunch of people. Here in South Carolina, we made a phone call to Bob Jones University, and we partnered up with them. They made a short film called The Legacy about a normal guy. His name's Joe.
Right.
And he takes his girlfriend out and proposes to her, but he's drinking during the celebration.
Sure.
They get into a car, and they go out, and ultimately his girlfriend dies.
Wow.
And it's pretty powerful. It's pretty stark. But we made that presentation, and fortunately, we won the national award for it. So we're really happy about that. We're going to be pushing that out across the state in just a couple months.
Okay. Drunk driving is actually one of the things that I wanted to ask you about today, and I know that that's a particularly hot topic here in South Carolina.
Sure.
I've heard it talked about a lot in the news and things like that. I did want to ask you, you mentioned that you go around speaking at events.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody listening wants you to come and speak at their event, what do they need to do to book you?
They can send me an email at joelhovis@scdps.gov and just send me an email. I'll be glad to call them back. Or they can call me on my state cell number, and that's 803-609-0232. And I'll be more than happy to come speak. There's no group too large, too small. I've spoken to youth groups. For instance, I the fourth Monday of every month, I go to the Phoenix Center in Greenville and speak to first-time DUI offenders.
Really?
I partner up with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And I went for a couple of times, and then they kind of came back and said, hey, can you come every month? And I said, yeah, sure. So I do that in Greenville. I also go to the Sheriff's Office in Spartanburg and speak to those the first time DUI offenders there through MAD, and also in Pickens County too. So that's just some of the things we do. I've spoken at Mitsubishi, Michelin, many of the high schools, surrounding high schools.
Sure.
I do a lot of things called prom talks and talk about, you know, your promise to do things, you know, when you're at the prom, and hopefully through that education, through those talks that we made. I know that last year I made 202 talks last year.
Wow.
So I had a talk pretty much about every day that I worked last
year. I was going to say, that's more than every other day.
it is. Of course, I did more than one in several things. And I think I did 10 in one day.
Golly.
But it just depends. They're not very, in some instances, they're not very long, but it's to the point. But one of the things we talk about that you ask about is DUI.
Right.
And, you know, it's, It's really with today's technology that we have, to where there's Lyft and Uber and taxi cab and designated sober drivers.
No excuse.
There's really, really no excuse. And you know, if you woke up in the morning and your radio station said, "Hey, there's a deadly virus that's stricken the United States and it's affected 50% of the people in the United States,"
right,
you would call that an epidemic.
Sure.
Right. Well. If
it wasn't that long ago, we were talking about Ebola.
Right.
And there were, what, two cases that came in, from out of the country,
right,
and everybody panicked.
So at 50%, of people affected, you would call that, an epidemic. And believe it or not, and I every time I say this, I almost don't believe it when I say it, but 50% of all traffic deaths in the state of South Carolina are alcohol related.
Wow.
50%, even in teenagers.
And I was going to ask you about that, because I've printed out some stats here. I was able to go back and find numbers from 2017. I gather you've probably got more recent data than that, but this is what I could find. And that was one of the things that I noticed, is that roughly half of the fatalities in – actually more than half of the fatalities in the state of South Carolina were alcohol related.
Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is. And one of the questions that I had – is, as a trooper, I imagine you've pulled over your share of,
yes, sir,
of drivers, and some of them probably were under the influence. And I've wondered, what is the mentality that puts somebody behind the wheel of a car after having had too much to drink? Is it that they don't think that it's important, or they don't think it's that dangerous, or they've done it before and they got away with it before, or that they – what is it? How does somebody wind up in that position?
You know what? That's a great question. It's probably a combination of all those things, or at least one of those things.
Right.
But like we said, it's so easy to have a plan, and a lot of times, what happens is people don't have a plan when they go out. They don't have a designated sober driver, and it's also been determined that if you go to a party or you go to a bar and you consuming alcoholic beverages and you don't have a plan, usually, when it comes time to go home, you won't recover from that plan, and you'll stick to where, and you'll get into that car and drive. So it's always great to have that plan before you go out.
Sort of the default
celebrate.
Position. I drove here. I'm going to drive home. Yeah,
okay. Absolutely. And it's it's funny. I pulled over a guy one night, and it was it was off on Woodruff Road, and it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and this car was like jerking back and forth on the highway, and so I walked up to the window and. And all the guys in the car were laughing except for the driver. And so can I see your driver's license, registration? They're all like snickering in the car. And so finally I figured out, and I looked at the guy and I said, "Designated driver, right?" And he rolled his eyes. He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Well, what?" I said, "Why
were
are
they
you
grabbing the wheel or something?"
Well, his buddy in the front pasture grabbed the wheel and told him to do that. And so I had a brief little prayer meeting with this buddy and everything. But the moral of the story is, he was a sober designated driver.
Right.
They all survived
they had a plan.
That night. They had a plan, but I tell that story all the time. It was because when I really got back in the car, I was thinking about that poor guy, and it's really laughable to think about. But realistically, that's what you should do every time that you go out and you plan on consuming alcoholic beverages.
Fair enough. Tell me if you can't speak to this. I recently was on a jury for a DUI case,
mm-hmm.
and I won't speak necessarily to that case, but it was interesting seeing the court process of prosecuting DUI.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing; it's one thing to get pulled over by a trooper like yourself and be arrested, for driving under the influence,
sure.
And then it's another thing to go to court and be convicted of that. And I know that that's been, the criticism in our state is that even if a police officer like yourself is able to make an arrest, sometimes somebody doesn't get punished because of some sort of court proceeding. And how important is it that the court's role in making sure that drunk drivers are not on the road anymore?
Well, this is America, and the
fair
courts,
enough.
The court system is in place, and it's up to us to make a case that we can win. And I will say this: the South Carolina Highway Patrol we're very, very good at what we do as far as DUI enforcement. We do it repeatedly, so it's something that we have. I guess you call it maybe some muscle memory when we actually pull a car over. Probably the largest majority of the time, if I walk up to a car and you look up at me and I see your eyes, I pretty much know right off the bat
right
whether
then.
Or not. Yeah, but
you still have to go through the procedure.
We do go through proceedings. You know, we're going to determine probable cause of whether or not you're under the influence of alcohol and or drugs. And if we do that, we're going to give you several tests through a field sobriety test. We're going to give you what we call the HGN or the horizontal gaze nystagmus test. It's about 90% accurate, and that's usually the telltale sign for most people. And there's some other things that we'll do, like the walk and turn or the one-leg stand, to just basically solidify a case. And we will then, of course, if we determine that you are under the influence, we will place you on arrest. You will be incarcerated. We will search your vehicle incident to arrest, and a lot of times that comes out with a open container or a broken seal on a liquor bottle,
or worse.
Sometimes there's drugs in the car, and that's just a compound problem for you since you've been pulled over, and then of course you go to jail, but you do have your day in court, and you have the right to explain, and we're going to present our case, and then they're going to present their case, and the that's what the court system is there for, and I believe in that, and so that's the way it is. It might sometimes
you wouldn't have your job if you didn't believe in it.
Yeah, well, it's when I talk to classes and we talk about DUI, I always give them three scenarios. The first one is, you're going down the road and you're in a car and you hop a ditch and you hit a tree, and the first person you see is me. And I determine that you're under the influence, so I place you under arrest, and you go to jail. You spend the night, and you're going to talk with the judge in the morning. And I tell people at the Phoenix Center, when I talk to first time DUI offenders, that believe it or not, and I also tell this to the subject that I arrest, when we're on our way to the jail, I tell them, you're really fortunate. Well, why am I fortunate? I'm going to jail.
Or
why
arrested.
Am I fortunate? I got arrested for DUI, but it's because you didn't hurt anyone,
right?
Because that's DUI first, okay? But you haven't hurt anyone. So the second scenario is the same scenario. You go down the street, you hop the ditch, you hit a tree, but this time you have a friend with you, and so this time your friend is hurt, and so now the game has changed. Now it's not DUI, now it's felony DUI, with great bodily injury, and they might have a internal injury. You know, the Lord made us in a unique way. We're about 80-something% all blood and water, but it's got to travel through those veins and arteries. And I've spoken to ER docs and surgeons, and a lot of people who die from internal injuries, they have like a torn or dissected aorta. My wife is a heart nurse at St. Francis, and we were out, and she knows everything about hearts.
Sure.
You can ask her anything. Makes a lot of money. She's my sugar mama, right? So we're out eating one night, and I said, "Honey, I said, just a regular torn or dissected aorta, how long do you have to live?" She said, "About 3 minutes."
Wow.
And so when you hear, a lot of times when you hear about dissected aorta, or they might have a head injury or a broken femur or ulna or something like that, but always that constitutes felony DUI with great bodily injury. And then the third scenario is the same scenario, except your friend dies.
Right.
And then the game, and I always tell people, listen to me. Life as you know it has ended, because you are going to jail, because felony DUI resulting in death, you're going to go to jail. And stay there for a while, because in our presentation that we won our award, if you get into a car while you're under the influence of drugs and or alcohol, it's not an accident. It's a willful thing, and so we're not talking about an accident. We're talking about a willful thing that you do.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that I have the questions that I have about drunk driving, is that it is willful. I understand that if you're under the influence of alcohol, you're probably not thinking clearly enough to know that you shouldn't be driving, but then you shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
And it still is a choice on your part to get behind the wheel of a car. It's easier not to drive than it is to drive. Like,
it's easier
to get in the car.
And the thing people don't understand, and you might cross a center line and kill someone that you don't know, but a lot of times people are killed with their family member, or their best friend, or girlfriend, or boyfriend, when I'm speaking to classes, most of the time people that's in the car with you are people that you like or love. I mean, it's not like you go to your enemy's house and toot the horn and say, "Hey, let's go get a pizza," right?
Right.
So it's someone that you're putting their lives in danger when that happens, and it's like I said, it's an epidemic. The South Carolina Highway Patrol alone in 2018 made over 18,000 DUI arrests.
Wow.
And we're still at the point where 50% of all traffic deaths in South Carolina are alcohol related.
18,000 in 1 year.
1 year.
That is incredible.
Mm-hmm. We've made, just for instance, this year alone in Troop 3 right. through June, we've made 1,175 DUI arrests in 6 months.
Wow.
So that goes to show
you. This is a problem. It's an epidemic, like you said.
It is. It is. And in some cases, it's been determined that between Wednesday night and Sunday night, after 11 o'clock, that one out of every three drivers on the street are impaired.
So you really got to watch out if you're
really
out.
Really do. I have people ask me all the time, Joe, my son, my daughter, they're getting their license. Can you give them advice? First thing I say, always, always, always wear your seatbelt.
Right.
Okay. And that's another epidemic we can talk about too.
Sure. But
always wear your seatbelt and have them home by 10:30, 11 o'clock, because there's nothing good going around the highway after that hour, especially for young people.
Well, speaking of the seatbelts, this is another thing I wanted to ask you about, because obviously that is a restraint in the vehicle. It's intended to save your life if you're in an accident. And yet, I was shocked, frankly. The numbers again. These numbers from 2017 that I found indicate that 301 fatally injured occupants were restrained in 2017, and 310 were unrestrained. Mm-hmm. It's basically 50-50.
That's another epidemic that we have. 50% of all, almost 50% of all people who die on our South Carolina roads were not wearing a seatbelt or not wearing it properly.
Right.
And, you know, one of my jobs as CRO, I get calls about fatalities, and because I have to report it
sure.
to the media.
Right.
So I've got a checklist that I go through and ask them, you know, questions. And one of the things I always ask is about seatbelted, yes or no. Now mine's, I got a little Excel sheet that I made, and I've got it pre-populated. No. If you're wearing your seatbelt, no. And very, very rarely do I have to change it to a
really?
Yes. And, I think the last survey that we had determined that 92% of our drivers in South Carolina
right.
were wearing seatbelts.
I believe I came across that statistic, and it indicated that the list that I found was it was over roughly a decade, and it looks like it's gone up. So we're improving in that regard. I think back in 2007 it was like 70%,
yeah.
and now we're at 92-point-something%.
But if you think about that and do the sit back and do the math on it, you think about it, you've got 8% of the people who are not wearing their seatbelts in
right.
the state of South Carolina, contributing over 50% of all traffic deaths in the state of South Carolina. So you can see the correlation there,
yeah.
and you know, it's been determined that if you have your seatbelt on and you're in a crash, no matter how violent, that you have an 88% chance of surviving that crash, which is a pretty good grade. I mean,
yeah.
I know this. When I was in high school, if I come home and told my parents I made an 88 on the test, they'd be doing like the happy dance, right? So it's 88% is a great number, especially on the highway. Also, if you don't have your seatbelt on and you're in a rollover, you have a 94% chance of being ejected.
Wow.
So, and you know, you might be ejected.
And I seem to remember a news story not that long ago, a month or two ago, where children mm-hmm. were ejected exactly like
yes,
that.
Sir. Yes, sir. That was very unfortunate.
It was very sad.
Very unfortunate. And, you know, we have, you know, we always, you know, tell your, you know, when we do things about wearing your seatbelt, make sure that your passengers are also restrained. It's because if you don't, they're going to become projectiles, and they could kill you, or they could be ejected, or you know, there's several ways that they could die. So make sure, especially for those young children, because they don't know any better. So make sure that they're restrained. You know, another thing too is that we, you know, the group that we have now that are 16, you know, 17, 15, getting in their license, you know, they're in that culture of wearing a seatbelt. I'll bet you since they can remember, you know, they were rear facing, forward facing,
right.
booster seat, you know, the whole detailed incremental stages of wearing your seatbelt. And so it's been proven that most kids these days, when they get into a car and they get into the car, they'll put their seatbelt on. But it's also been proven that if they are with other teenagers who don't wear their seatbelt, they won't wear it either.
Mm.
So I guess like peer pressure, almost
yeah.
like drinking or anything else,
yep.
they want to be cool like everybody else. And I tell
– just do what the crowd
I
does.
I tell high school kids all the time, if you have friends that expect you not to wear their seatbelt, you need to find another set of friends.
Yeah.
Because they will get you killed. Because it's just – it's that simple. My new thing, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to come out with a little seatbelt thing. It's called Get Buckled or Get Buried, and it's pretty simple. That's how that plays along those lines. It's very, very serious if you do not have your seatbelt on when you're in a car.
Well, that's the choice. It's kind of like sober or slammer.
Those
are the choices. Before we run out of time, because the show has gone very quickly, you mentioned that you're also in charge of recruiting.
I am.
And we wanted to talk about the fact that you, as the South Carolina Highway Patrol, are hiring at the moment.
We are. We have two recruiters that do full-time recruiting all over the state. And I was with one of them last night at National Night Out down in Simpsonville. But I also do recruiting. I usually, if I see someone, I'll say, hey, what do you do for a living? And I'll give them my card and say, hey, you look good in a uniform. But I absolutely positively love working for the Highway Patrol. It's just a great chance to meet people and hopefully save lives. I've been with HP about 7 years. Believe it or not, I was fortunate enough to have a little scholarship to University of Tennessee, and I graduated there, and I went to work for a company 2 weeks out of my graduation. And I worked with them for 32 years. Had a great retirement, but I've always wanted to be a trooper since I was a little boy. And the South Carolina Highway Patrol did not have an age limit. So
this is your retirement plan.
This is my retirement plan. Long story short, June 30th, 2012, I retired, and 6 days later, I went to trooper school at 54 years old.
Wow. Well, and I was going to say, a lot of people will think of joining a police force, you know, as something you do right out of high school.
Yeah,
you know, you've graduated
exactly.
high school,
exactly.
and a lot of people do that, and that's fine. You can go straight to police academy and learn the ropes and become a rookie, you know, at 18, 19 years old. I personally had a friend who joined the Anderson police,
right.
And he was 30. And he had gone to school, originally studied criminal justice, and then just never did anything with it and you know, had other jobs and was
sure.
doing other stuff. And then finally got around to, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and be a cop now.
Yeah.
Well, so there's no age limit.
Well, you have to be 21.
Well,
21, but there's no age. For the South Carolina High Patrol, there's no age limit. As a matter of fact, my roommate in patrol school was 23. And they were all 23, 26.
Right.
There were 48 of us that graduated. And
they
always
call you granddad or something.
It's just funny though. They all call me Mr. Hovis. Even the instructors call me. Now
Fair
I can
enough.
Tell you this: in trooper school, there's a lot of encouragement going on, right? And we'd be on a little five mile jog, and they were like encouraging people, and they would always look over to me and say, "Mr. Hovis, you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I'm good." And but it's great people. We're very, very close. Our class is very, very close. I mean, it's just a brotherhood, and it's great work with the Highway Patrol. But ultimately, you know, when you come home and you hang your hat up at the end of the day, you know, you hope that you've saved some lives, and that's what we're all about, is saving lives. And if you want to make that jump and come to the Highway Patrol, you can go to careers.sc.com or just go to the South Carolina Highway Patrol or Department of Public Safety website and go to the job section.
Gotcha. And real quickly, if you can do it in about a minute, you've got something coming up on September 14th.
I do.
It is an event.
It's a car show to benefit the South Carolina Special Olympics. It's going to be at Five Point Church in Easley. It goes from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's an open show. We're going to give first, second, third class prizes for your vehicle. But we have – it can be Jeeps. It can be trucks. It can be old cars. It can be anything. We're expecting a lot of people and want you to come down. Like I said, everything goes to the benefit of the South Carolina Special Olympics.
So is this not a Highway Patrol sponsored? This is something you're putting on?
The Highway Patrol has put it on.
Okay.
I'm doing it, but it's for the Highway Patrol. We usually partner with them to – we're big supporters of the South Carolina Special Olympics. And we want – and so this is the kind of thing I do as a CRO to do my part. And it's always a fun time.
Gotcha. So September 14th at –
at Five Point Church in Easley.
Five Point Church.
It's the old
in
Walmart
Easley.
In Easley.
Gotcha.
But most people know where that is.
Lance Corporal Joe Hovis with the South Carolina Highway Patrol has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's always a blast talking to you.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.